have the word of prayer. Brother Donnie Martin, lead that prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for a beautiful day that you've given us, for another opportunity that we can come and worship you here tonight, Father. Lord, we pray, Father, that you'll be the ones who have been mentioned here tonight. Lord, we lift each and every one of them up to you, and we have to be near to them, and their needs, and their families. And we ask that you go with your families, be with them. Lord, we pray, Father, that you'll be with the family around about us who have lost loved ones. We ask that you be near to them and strengthen them, Father. Lord, we pray, Father, that you be with Brother John as he stands before us and rest the bread of life. We pray, Father, that you'll be with him and each and every time that he prepares, Father, discernment. So we pray, Father, that you'll give him the word, Father, that we need to hear. And Lord, we pray, Father, that you'll go with us. And Lord, we pray, Father, that everything we say and do here tonight will be God and glorify you. Lord, I pray, Father, that you forgive me for I've sinned and where I failed you. Lord, we help us never take for granted all the blessings that you've given us. And Lord, we pray, Father, that you'll help us, Lord, that we may always be a light in all souls' life. And Lord, we pray, Father, that there's some tonight who knows you not, that they, maybe they are, they see the need for you and they accept you for your sake. Lord, we ask that you'll go with us, Father, and pray, Father, you'll be with those who are traveling. And travel graces. And Lord, help us never take what you've done for us for granted. Yeah. Lord, thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He eludes the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on.
Amen. Thank you, young people. Thank the Lord for the good song service. If you would, I'd like to invite you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. We're going to be looking at our sixth lesson tonight in the study of the book of Colossians. Last week, if you remember, we dealt with legalism. Tonight, we are going to be dealing with how to be Christ-like. And the Bible's very plain right here about how Christians are to be. It says in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 17, "If ye then be risen with Christ," in other words, if you're saved by the grace of God, you know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon and remission of sin, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuance, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, and malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, since you say, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That word charity, again, we understand it, the Greek, to mean love. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow before your throne this evening, we do so with thankful heart. We thank you, dear God, for the great song service that we have just came through. I pray, Lord, that all the songs, the specials that have been brought forward by our young people, Lord, our songs that have brought glory to your name. For you are the only reason why we are to be gathering in this situation tonight, to praise, honor, and worship thee. So, Lord, I pray that you'll open up our minds and our hearts this evening. Help us, dear God, to understand what it truly is to be Christ-like, to be Christ-centered, to be Christian. Lord, I pray that you just be with us and watch over us and forgive us our sin in Jesus Christ's name. And amen. I simply entitled this, How to Be Christ-like. It's very simple. It's very easy to get a hold of the scriptures that are laid out before us, where Paul is teaching the church at Colossae how to be Christian. What entails a Christian? What is the makeup of one who has truly been saved by God's amazing grace? Emmanuel, to our visiting friends, our scripture reading this evening opens up the thought that yes, indeed, we can be Christ-like in our daily routine and walk. A lot of the time we make excuses for our lack of Christianity by blaming the times, by blaming the devil, even our own fallen nature. But in all reality, we fail these very important verses of Holy Scripture and do not wish to make the changes necessary to picture us as being Christian, or in other words, Christ-like. In last week's lesson, we dealt with legalism, and what we'll propose tonight is not legalism, but as Romans 12, 1 and 2 declares, and these two verses of Scripture tells you exactly what I need you to understand tonight. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That right there is what I want you to really get a hold of. It's that which is our reasonable service. He goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In order for God's people to know what the perfect will of God is for our own lives, we've got to get into the book, amen? We've got to have a better understanding of what God's Word is directing us, because what God's Word is God's revelation, exactly, verbatim, what He wants us to know about Him. That's what this is all about. This is practical Christianity. If you remember some years ago, I think it may be around 2005 or 2006, I've done a series on practical Christianity. Folks, it's only practical that we be what we intend to be, what we are called to be. So let us look at these first 17 verses of Scripture, and let us learn just how we are to accomplish this task of being Christ-like. Now, at the very onset of the Scripture, the Bible states this: if ye be risen. Now stop for just a moment and get a hold of what that's saying. It's saying if you're saved by grace, if you've been saved, and the Bible says if ye then be risen with Christ, in other words, if you have a changed life, if there's something special about you, and folks, everybody that's saved by the grace of God, there is something special about you. I want you to know that. I don't want you to play the part that is so humble that you don't recognize the fact that God counted you special, special enough that He sent His Son to die especially for you on the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, in other words, if ye then be saved by the grace and by the atoning covering of Jesus Christ, there are certain things that must accompany that. Number one, a new spirit, a new life, a new creature, and a new creation. The Bible says if we're going to be Christ-like, number one, we've got to be saved by God's amazing grace. If you intend to be as our Scripture here declares, you must know the Lord Jesus Christ savingly. How do you do that? You got to believe of what He did on the cross of Calvary. I go back for just a moment to John chapter 5 and verse 24. John 5:24. The Bible said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Number one, in order for you to be saved by God's amazing grace, you got to hear the glorious gospel. You got to hear what the Apostle Paul was stating in Romans 1:16. Why he was stating that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the Bible says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We say, well, how do I experience this act of salvation in my own life? How do we experience that? How did we experience that? Well, we take you right back to the book of Romans in chapter 10, where the Bible states this in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Even as I speak here tonight, the word is nigh thee. It's coming to your ears. The Bible actually goes on to state, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is a word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Friend, there is no middle ground here. There is no place for man to sit back and rest on his own laurels. There's only one place to to find solace here. And that is believing that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt and to pay it in its totality. That's what salvation is. So if you're ever to be saved by God's amazing grace, if you're ever to be Christ-like, if you're ever to come to a point where you, they first called the people of God in Antioch, Christian, you have to be saved by God's amazing grace. Come to Him tonight. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, is what the Scriptures say. Listen, we can go on. In verse 17, the Bible states this, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." In Ephesians 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we see tonight that the very first thing that you have to get a hold of in order to be Christian, number one, you got to hear the glorious gospel. You got to hear the Word of God. You got to believe what it says. You got to trust that Jesus Christ came and died for you on the cross of Calvary, paying your sin debt in full. That's what brings about salvation. That puts you on the road to being Christian, to be Christ-like. Now, secondly, I want you to understand something else here with us. Back in our text of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 5 down through verse 11 where the Bible states this. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Now, what does that word mortify mean? In the Greek it is nekrua. And it means to put to death. It means to be as good as dead. So, in order for you to be Christian or Christ-like, the old man's got to be just as good as dead. Amen? You got to be just as good as dead. You've got to be Christ-like. You've got to be Christ-centered. And the Bible says these are some of the things you got to put away from you. These are some of the things that are supposed to be dead to you spiritually and physically and emotionally. Number one, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Fornication, listen, fornication, the Bible says, should not be named once among God's children. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuance, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now, think about this. Here's some more things that we're to put off. You say, this almost sounds like legalism. No. This is things that the old man has been plagued with all his life, that now, since we have a new man, these old things got to be put away. It's not legalism. It's practical Christianity. The Bible states this: put off anger, wrath, and malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I mean, what person wants to hear a Christian tell dirty jokes? Nobody. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear a, air quote, Christian talk with foul language. Nobody in the world wants to hear that kind of stuff. I mean, nobody in their right mind, nobody that has a moral compass about them, even enjoys being around somebody that's always using foul language. Nobody enjoys being around those that are always filled with anger, always filled with wrath and malice. You see, all those things are things of the old nature. These are things that the old man once carried. You're a new man now. The Bible says you're a new creature. You're saved by God's amazing grace. There's no reason for us to be walking around with always carrying the baggage of anger wrapped around our necks like a chain. Listen, these are things that beguile the Christian. These are things that destroy the good testimony of good men. These are things that destroy the well-being and the sanctity of all that is right and righteous. You go uptown and maybe you get around a group of people, and they're all wanting to fight, or they're wanting to go out and drink and carouse, or they're wanting to go out and commit all kinds of debauchery and sin. Would you ever think that there was a Christian in that crowd? No, you wouldn't. That's the reason why the Bible says we're to put off all those old things. We're to change the way that we look at life itself in general. Our old man must be crucified. Romans in chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible states this: knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. The Bible goes on to say in verse 9 that sin shouldn't have dominion over the Christian. It's not to say that we're not going to sin, because 1 John 1:9 says that if we say we have no sin, we're liars. And you know every last one of us have to deal with sin on a daily basis. We have to get it out of our lives. We have to ask God to forgive us of our sin. We go and we think about what the Scripture says here, that sin hath no more dominion over us. Folks, that's what it is to be Christian. Sin does not reign over our lives. It isn't something that we long to do. It isn't something that we look forward to doing. As a matter of fact, every time you sin, it ought to break your heart. Every time that you sin against God or against His people, it ought to break your heart. It ought to cause you to repent. Galatians 2:20 says this: I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Listen, in order to be Christ-like, we've got to mortify our fleshly desires, the sins that doth so easily beset us. We've got to do away with those things that cause us not to be living the way we ought to. In Galatians 5:24, the Bible says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Every time that those thoughts come in our minds, listen, get it away from you. Have a new attitude. Have a new life. Have a new thinker up here. You know, when we crucify fleshly desires, we become new creatures because we begin to think differently. Romans 12:2, though, that's what this transformation is, how it takes place. You begin to think differently. How are you going to get to where you need to be if you don't think differently? If you keep the old thoughts of the old man in your mind, you're never going to change the way that you live. That's a reason why we need to think differently. Think about it. But you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, you must begin to think differently. Change the thought process. Think of the heavenly things. We go back to 2 Corinthians 5, I believe it is, in verse 17. There the Bible says that those that are saved by God's amazing grace, what are they? They're new creatures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So in order to be Christ-like, we must do away with the fleshly hindrances. Those things, as I said a moment ago, that does so easily beset us. Now, the last thing I want to look at here this evening, in order to be Christ-like, we must put on some things as well. Once we take those things off, listen, if you don't fill it up with something, there's going to be a greater vacuum come in and fill it up for you. It's like the old scripture, the parable of when the devil was first cast out of this person, and they never received the proper spiritual welfare. You know what happened? There was that many more come in. Folks, I believe today we've got to be careful about allowing that kind of sin to come into our lives. We've got to be careful about that. So we must put on some Christ-like traits. Back in our text of Colossians 3, the Bible states this, verse 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the... That's the reason why song service is so important. I've heard preachers say there ain't nothing to a song service. Listen, there's a reason why God has it in His book. It's there for a reason. This is what God says that we're to be doing for each other. Be a singing and rejoicing and praising God every time we come in before we hear the Word of God. Those things are important, folks. Don't ever let somebody tell you that the song service is not important. It is important. It's so important that he had it put in his book to make sure we do that. And whatsoever you do, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In order to be Christ-like, we've got to put on some Christ-like traits. We must be merciful. That's what I was speaking on last week when I was dealing with a woman that was taken in adultery. And all the men came and they were ready to stone her. And they began to question Christ, what do you think? The law says, yeah, I know what the law says. But who among you are without sin? The law says that person must die, yeah. But where were you? I keep going back to where he wrote on the ground. And I was one of these days I might even ask him, what in the world did you write? All those men that were standing around there, they had their stones ready to roll. And he was stooped down and began to write on the ground, one by one. from the least to the eldest, they all began to walk away. I don't know what he wrote on the ground, but it convicted them. It showed them something, didn't it? Maybe he said, I know where you were at. I know what you've been doing. Are you free from sin? That's where Jesus Christ exhibited the greatest of mercy that I've ever witnessed, besides him dying for my soul. Merciful. We must be merciful. Just think about how Christ showed us mercy. In Ephesians 2:1, the Bible says, "In you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins." If he hadn't quickened us, we'd still be dead in our sins. We would still be on our way to a devil's hell had it not been for the quickening agent and power of Almighty God. Then we have John 3:15-16. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. And I love it, and I'm thankful for it because it gives me salvation. It gives me that blessed hope. Where the Bible states this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Upon the cross of Calvary, Christ poured out manifold benefits to us as recipients of grace. Mercy. Kindness. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forgiving, and forgiveness. This was all for the brotherhood, love for the brotherhood. When we deal with that word brotherhood, which I hear men in the prayer room, oftentimes they pray for the brotherhood. What is the brotherhood? Is it just the men of the church? No. According to the Greek, this word brotherhood that's mentioned here in 1 Peter 2:17 is a word that denotes a fellowship of believers, men and women, the brotherhood, the church, the living God. Christ was forbearing in that he overlooked our ability to do anything pleasing unto him. We could not even earn the status of even his gaze. But yet Christ was forgiven. He is even willing this very hour to forgive any who will come unto him. These are the traits each of us should be willing to cultivate in our own lives, because this will open up the perfect window of praise to Christ. Verse 16 and 17 of our text talks about the fact that we're to sing these songs of praise, these songs of a willing heart and a heart that's full of thankfulness. Remember, this is not the practice of legalism, but rather the practice of practical Christianity. And may God help each and every one of us to always maintain practical Christianity in our daily walk. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow before your throne tonight, we do so with thankful heart. We thank you, dear God, that you made a difference in our lives, that you saved us by your grace. You gave us a new life and a new walk. Father, I pray that each and every one that makes up this body truly can understand the reason why that we ought to be so Christ-like. We ought to be so Christian that the world around us recognizes the change in our lives. Lord, I pray for the lost that may be here tonight. I pray, dear God, you may save them by your grace. Give them that new life and new light. Lord, I ask that you forgive us our sin. In Jesus Christ's name, his sake that I pray. And amen. Have our song leader and our pianist to come.
This week, keep us safe and bring us our sins as Jesus Christ's holy name.